Welcome back to the Sword of Truth podcast, the alcohol-fueled chapter-by-chapter reread of the Sword of Truth series with craft brew on the side for when you're having a rough day.
Yeah.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Jade, and we are going to be getting into chapter 21 of Temple of the Winds.
So you guys remembered like 10 seconds ago when I said we're having a rough day. Number one, Jade is sick as shit.
Yeah, I don't know if you can tell.
Wow.
But it's not going great.
So she is going to struggle through this as best she can. And then we are going to sleep.
Yeah. I got my Gatorade. I'm not actually drinking.
Yeah, got to stay hydrated.
I'm just trying to make it go as fast as I can.
Well, Jade, you're not alone today because our chapter revolves around another person who is also having a very, very shitty day.
Yeah, I can sympathize.
Some would argue worse than your day. So maybe there's a silver lining.
I would concede
in that much.
Yeah.
Well, shall we? Oh, you know what? One more thing. Listen all the way to the end of this episode to hear something that one of our listeners sent in to us. It's really, really cool. He does audio dramas, and so he sent me a speech from, and you're going to have to forgive me, it's a speech from Star Trek, but it's something he did himself. He, like, put his own twist on it, and he sent it to me. It's really, really fucking cool. So you guys should definitely stick around to the end of the episode to listen to that.
Was that look at me for confirmation?
Yes.
I can't give it to you. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I listened to it with you, but I have no idea, you know, if you're right.
Well, all right. With that out of the way, we will get into this chapter.
Okay.
We will trudge our way through.
Yes.
Here we go. This chapter opens by introducing a new character, Clarissa. Currently, she's in the Stone Tower of the Abbey in the city of Renwold, new place to add to the map. We finally have a point.
Yeah.
Watching as her city is invaded. And since Clarissa is the focal point of this chapter, one could say that Clarissa is going to explain it all. I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself.
I mean, I feel like that's a dated enough reference that there's only a small group of people who are going to get that, and they're all going to be right around our age. So, you're welcome for that.
Nate, what's your favorite kind of fruit? The low-hanging ones. Well, the noise is deafening. She can hear the clash of steel, the hissing of arrows, the screaming of horses and men, and explosions as huge balls of light are hurled from the distance, causing mass amounts of damage.
Boom! Crash!
She can also hear my cat scratching on something I'm sure he's not supposed to be.
I heard it.
I hope that's not the amp. Anyways, the invaders bellow battle cries and blow shrill horns as they pour into the city in huge numbers.
Intense.
Very intense. And she's just up in a tower watching this wave of soldiers pour into her town.
Which would not be fun and would be very anxiety inducing.
Townsmen are crying and begging for their lives even as they are slaughtered. She can see one of the Assembly of Seven, possibly like a governmental position, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Being dragged down the street behind a horse. The sound of women wailing can be heard everywhere as their husbands, sons, and fathers are cut down. The whole city smells of wood, oil, flesh, and cloth, but everything takes a backseat to the smell of blood.
And she's like up in the tower, so you know that.
That's, yeah. It's pretty strong if she's getting it all the way up there. But yeah, it just... She's just stuck in the tower. That's all we know.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't want to leave the tower if that's what's below the tower. Fuck you, Rapunzel's not letting her hair down.
Yeah, you're certainly not going outside at this point. I'm going to stay up in my tower.
Lock the door.
It was all happening just like he, in quotes, said it would. And she had laughed at him. Now, she didn't think she'd ever be able to laugh again as long as she lived. The thought of how short of a time that might be make her legs buckle.
Yeah, as it would. But, you know, I mean, that's hindsight for you, laughing in somebody's face when they told you what was happening, what was coming.
It's gonna end up being the ultimate I told you so moment, right?
Yeah, for sure.
No, she tells herself, they won't come in here. That would be blasphemy. She's in the Abbey, right? So that's like a holy place.
These people down here who are doing these atrocious acts definitely care about not going to hell.
Right.
And will for sure toe that line, even though they've definitely crossed many others.
Already.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
With
for
that
sure.
much violence, they're not going to be like, well, that's an invisible line, though, fellas. We don't pass that.
God said no.
When it comes to churches, we're like vampires. They have to invite us in.
Yeah, can't do that. Sanctuary and all that.
But even though she's like, no, they wouldn't do that, he said that they would. He also told her that Renwald, a town so defensible that it seemed to be protected by the creator himself, would fall. And this day, it had.
Yeah, so if the other things he said were already coming true, why would you believe that they're not going to come into the air? Like, he said they would.
Yeah, I feel like at this point, you're full in. You're like, okay, he was right. Fuck.
But I guess, I mean...
But what do you do?
Yeah, you're stuck at the Abbey still, so whatever.
For their refusal to surrender the city peacefully, the people were being shown no mercy. We know this about Jigang. He is brutal. He gives them a chance to just kind of come quietly, even though we know he's not going to honor that ultimately. But if they give him any sort of resistance, then it's just fucking total annihilation. I'm taking everything over right now.
Yeah. And I'm assuming this is one of the towns that refused to surrender to Richard as well. I was going to look it up and then I forgot.
I'm not 100% sure. I would have to go back and see. But I know their reason for this is that they've never been invaded before. And Richard wasn't really invading.
Yeah, but I...
But this is, as far as I can tell, this is in...
The Midlands.
The New World, yeah.
Yeah, I think that I remember there being a conversation between Richard and one of the people from them saying, we're indefensible, and him being like, okay, but they'll come and they'll crush you, so you should be on my side.
Oh, so maybe we don't know quite yet if they're in or out.
But I think that they're not, I mean, they're not in, because Richard's not here.
Yeah, obviously,
them.
Okay, but yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like maybe they didn't surrender to Richard either.
Well, most of the people assumed that since the city had always been safe in the past, they would be fine this time too. A few people argued that they should surrender because three nights of a red moon was obviously a bad omen. They had seen this too. It seems that the creator and the good spirits had abandoned them. They don't like what's going on. They got this army outside. Fuck it. Obviously, this is all meant to be, so let's just let it happen.
Yeah.
Like, not great choices.
No, I mean, they're either coming in or nothing, I guess.
Or like, going you could, to be destroyed,
yeah,
you
surrender
know? Yeah.
And have it be fine. But, I mean, I guess it just goes down.
There's
I'm
no
assuming,
way for you to get out of the situation fine.
I'm assuming maybe some of the older generation were like, no, we've held our ground before, and we're going to this time. Maybe some of the younger generation that hadn't seen them indefensible, were like, maybe not, though. I don't know. And then they lost.
The army's pretty big, guys. We should talk about this, maybe?
These walls have been here for a while, you know?
Well, Clarissa can see people being herded into groups in the street. Any man with a skill deemed useful was chained and marched off to become a slave. The very old, the very young, or men without a useful skill were murdered where they stood. She watched as I didn't mean to laugh. I got a flashback from year one. That movie's like, I will kill you where you stand. That is the exact wrong time to be like, movie reference, but there it is. She watched as a man called Dumb Gus, a man who did odd jobs around town for food, shelter, and ale, was beaten over and over and over in the head with a club until he finally died.
See, now the last one I could see being like fairly obvious from a distance, but the rest I feel like she has to be very observant to, like, and even this next part that she's paying attention to understand the ways they were sorting people, like from up in a tower. I don't know.
Yeah, to have that much insight. Well, I mean, I guess it really depends on if she knows the people from town.
Yeah, I guess that's true. If she knows that, oh, those are all the skilled people and those are all the old people.
Yeah.
They're dead. Okay, that's what they're doing. All right. Yeah, maybe.
And it really seems like a lot of the quote unquote paperwork positions were the ones they were like, not useful. We need a guy who can build shit.
No, army shit.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Or somebody who can fight. You know what I mean? So if you didn't fit what it is they needed, then you were just murdered.
Yeah.
So that pile is pretty easy to understand, I feel like.
Yeah, even the young kids, if they weren't close enough to fighting age, they aren't going to trudge along with them
right.
In the meantime.
They're not going to feed them in the meantime.
Yeah.
And so while this is happening, while she watches this guy, Gus, get beaten over the head, she keeps repeating to herself, this isn't happening. This isn't happening. This isn't happening. Like, freaking the fuck out. But it is.
Yeah. Bad
it
nightmare.
It is all very, very real.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to check in with you, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10. Where's your bad day at right now, JD? Sorry, I asked you a question as you took a drink.
Yeah. Well, it's not as bad as hers. That's
okay.
For sure.
Okay.
I hate my voice right now, though. I know that it's coming across real harsh, and I apologize to everyone. So, I don't know.
I
feel like I've been justified.
We should get you doing some, like, rap rock recordings right now with the raspy. Yeah, I think it would work. I think it would work. So, ultimately, not a 10. We're at least at a 9.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Better than it was.
Yeah.
So the women in town are being sorted into different groups according to their age and apparently their looks. Each one had a small spike shoved through their lower lip, followed by a ring that was closed with the invader's teeth. Super sanitary, I might add.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I mean, okay, what I don't get, is it just for the sake of causing pain that they're using a separate spike than the ring? Because if it's just a clamping ring, then why wouldn't the edge just be sharpened and then you just push the ring through the lip?
That's more work to do to the ring.
Yeah, but they got to put two things through the hole the way they're doing it with the spike and then the ring.
Well, and also somebody has pliers.
Why
opening,
would you do it that
they're
way?
They're opening these rings with the pliers to make them wide enough.
Yeah.
And then they're not using the pliers to close them again.
And then, yeah, nope, we're using teeth
for
that.
We're using teeth, which is going to damage the man's teeth for first. I'm sorry. And then also,
the more worked up you get, though.
I know, the worse it gets. And also, I don't know, you could miss and, like, bite the lip. I don't know. The whole thing is just not great.
There's a lot really fucked up with it. Yeah. And I know they're like, it's brutal and dirty and gross this way. And it definitely is. But I'm like, a lot of this would get solved if you just had a sharp ring.
Well, yeah. And also, the spike is, like, rusty.
You're still doing it with your fingers. It's not going to be great, but like better.
So like
better than teeth, I would argue.
Yeah, I'm just saying they're like giving tetanus to all of their slaves.
Fuck yeah, right off the bat.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Not good.
Holy shit. Sorry, I have piercings and such, and we're just like, that's bad.
It's not.
That
how
is
it's supposed
so
to go.
Bad. If you see, in case you don't know, if you ever see this happen at a tattoo shop that you are considering getting work at, leave right now.
I can't imagine.
Cannot stress that enough.
Can't imagine that would be a shop. That would be like a party in somebody's that back would, room yeah. or some shit.
Where the idea hadn't occurred to you. Hey, you want to... No, no, just don't.
I got a rusty awl in my garage. You want to go get this done?
Yikes. So, after the teeth thing, we also find out that he had told her this would happen too. And again, she had laughed at him. It seemed crazy to her now that she would have laughed at, you know, being told this.
Well, I guess if you believe unwaveringly that your country or your town or whatever the fuck you want to call it can't be invaded, then maybe you would laugh at somebody. But I do feel like it's a little bit, I don't know, heartless to laugh at somebody who's talking about the destruction of your town. Like, he's talking about the women of your town being taken as slaves, and you're like, ha 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 ha, that could never happen.
Yeah, I feel like at least take note.
Oh!
Like, armies are roaming. This is a thing you know. You've heard news from towns over and stuff. Like, it's a possibility. Let's at least say it's a possibility yeah. because it is.
Thank you for this information. I cannot see how this possibility could come to pass. But knowing this, maybe I will be able to, you know, dip out of here before it actually does. Apparently, she didn't take the fucking information the way she was supposed to. And nope. She just hung out because she was laughing at him. And this is what she gets.
This is it. That's the attitude you would have. I fucking told you. Yeah. I told you.
You should have just paid attention, man.
All right. Well, a group of older women, women of every shape, women. Had copper rings. Yes, women. The plural of woman. Another group of younger women screamed and fought as they were given silver rings. If I'm saying women wrong, somebody tell me.
I don't think you are. Like, I think you looked it up, and I know that I'm probably wrong. But when you say it, it sounds like it's W-E-M-E-N. I don't know why.
That is how I'm pronouncing it.
It hits my ears so weird.
I'm sorry.
Women? Women?
Women.
Women? I don't know. You do it with more of an E there, and it just throws my brain. But keep continuing. Right. Sorry.
Another group of younger women screamed and fought as they were given silver rings, but stopped after a few who fought the hardest were killed. Hmm. This group has a little more angst. Hmm. The smallest group, the youngest and the prettiest, were given golden rings. And it doesn't, I mean, they were just losing their absolute shit. They were terrified.
But apparently not fighting.
No, I don't think it was so much fighting. I think they were just losing their mind.
Yeah.
Probably a little bit difficult to control. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, as you would be if everyone in your town is getting brutally slaughtered in front of you.
And these girls, they're being inspected by the men in unsavory ways, and it's just, it's bad. But Clarissa knows most of these.
The way you described it as unsavory, it's bad. Like, that's an understatement.
That's true. The understatement of the century. But Clarissa knows most of these women because it's hard to forget people who regularly humiliate you. These were the women that gave her a hard time because she was in her early 30s and unmarried.
It says it, and it gives you, like, a sentence or two to be like, oh, so fuck them, right?
Right, exactly.
Before you read how she feels about it.
Like, look, we know this is bad. This should never happen to any human beings. But if there were a story to make you feel less bad, would this persuade you, insert Clarissa's story here?
Yeah.
It just gets you thinking, you know?
I don't want this, but I kind of, you know, like... I kind of want you to feel like this is going to happen and then it not happen. You know what I mean?
Not happen. Yeah.
Like, get as far as the ring through your lip and then have somebody come out and go, punk! Punked! It's punked, I think. I don't know what they yell. You've been punked. That's it.
You have been punked.
Yeah.
Not like that, though. I said it weird. You have been punked.
Ha-ha! You're a robot now.
All right, well, I think that is a good place for us to take a little break.
Breaky poo.
And discuss what we're drinking.
Okie doke.
Well, Jade has opted to change from Gatorade for the beer break. She is going to have little PB and Jaylee.
I figure it's not going to make me feel worse. I'm going to continue to drink the Gatorade, but also have a beer.
But also, yeah.
Because I can.
I have a beer called Fuzzy Nugs. I love the name of it so much. It's from Rockford Brewing Company. It says, we scored a fresh bag of nugget hops to make this brew.
Oh.
I feel like we did this or we talked about this on the Patreon.
You might have. I wasn't here for that.
I think maybe we did. And I just, it's different. It's kind of hard to pin down, really. I'm not crazy
it's for sure an IPA.
About it. Yes, IPA all the way. Well, it's a pale ale. Puck, you can't swap the microphone with your tail there, buddy.
And I can do what I want.
But yeah, you would not like this. And I'm not going to ask you to drink it in your current condition.
No.
Because, you know, your comfort is what matters.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I'm sure. But also, what's the point? I know. I already know.
But you know.
I already know what it tastes like.
But all right, so we are going to take just a bit of a break, and we will be back right after this.
Ba-da-boom.
And we are back, hanging out with Clarissa on her super bad day, talking about how she got picked on because she was in her early 30s and still not married.
She went the career path.
She did. She totally went career.
Yeah.
Well, Clarissa actually never planned it this way.
Oh, well.
She always wanted a family. She just never got the opportunity. She didn't think she was ugly by any means. Sure, she had a little meat on her bones, but she wasn't grotesque. Mm. And she wasn't the kind of pretty that, you know, songs were written about either. But apparently, just, quote, not being ugly, quote, wasn't good enough.
Well,
yikes.
When you live in a super small town, there's a very small crop, you know, to choose from every year within your marrying age. If you got to marry by a certain time.
But I mean, yeah. And I know it does go on to explain that now she's like old. She's too old to even be considered, which isn't true. But like she's trapped in this horrible scenario where she just kind of got filtered out. And it's not fair because I feel like in a not a huge pot to pick from.
Yeah.
You know, okay. She's not what songs aren't written about her, but she's not like a troll either.
No, she probably should have just.
And by the way, still a human being.
She probably just should have packed her shit up at like 15 and hit the road and found a different town.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And she would have been fine.
I suppose that makes sense.
No, she was stuck in the small town life, not finding anybody else.
Well, now, like I just said, now she's too old to give a man his son. Apparently, this is what they think about her. Early 30s, you're done, honey.
Yeah.
But because of this, she is trapped. She's alone and an old maid.
That's sad.
It is. Her work fills her time now. But it doesn't really make her as happy as she thought a family would have. So it is sad.
Yeah, and she'll never know.
Well, no, now her town is, you know, being destroyed, so. Yeah. But even with as much as it hurt to be called a hag or an old maid, and all the time she would imagine those mean girls suffering all sorts of humiliation, she'd never wish this on them. The invaders laugh as they tear open the bodices and inspect them like cattle. Clarissa prays to the creator, asking forgiveness for ever wishing them ill.
Well, yeah, that makes it a little bit more real when you see it happen in front of your face.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
And also when you kind of see it. I mean, she doesn't believe it's going to happen to her, but it's like inevitably working its way towards her as well.
Yeah, and I feel like that's, you know, she starts to pray, so there's nothing she can do for herself anymore.
Yeah.
That's what it says to me. When you start to do that, then you're like, okay, this is totally out of my hands. I'm just going to hope now that it ends okay.
Some people are prayers from the start, though. They won't even try anything else.
That's, well, yeah.
But yes, I agree with you.
She gasps when she sees a group of men below using a log as a battering ram charging at the door. There's a loud thud, shit. And the building shakes. People start screaming. There's another thud. And another, followed by the sound of splintering wood. And then, pandemonium.
Yeah, because there's a bunch of people hiding out in the Abbey.
Yeah.
Assuming they wouldn't come in there.
They have just broken in the building. We know what Clarissa thinks. This was a building they weren't supposed to go in. So it's not a huge stretch to just kind of assume that the other people in the building had the same thought.
Well, it's like in Hunchback of Notre Dame, when Esmeralda goes into the big church and she's like, sanctuary! And then Quasimodo does it at the end and holds her up and is all like, sanctuary!
Yeah.
And nobody can go in there. But Frollo's evil.
But he goes in there.
Yeah, he goes in there.
So he's these guys. He's the order.
Yeah. Well, there's supposed to be gargoyles up in the attic or something to help her. But
Disney
I guess not.
Well, they're violating the sanctity of the Abbey just as the prophet. We learn a little bit more now.
Okay, yes.
Just as the prophet said they would.
It
Until
is
now... It has been, this person has been referred to as he, and now it's the prophet.
Now, to be fair, they were speaking about the future, so if we were really
One
trying
could assume.
To think about it, you probably could assume, but here it is me and you decided more than safe to assume that the prophet is our good buddy Nathan.
Is Nathan, yeah. No, 100%.
We only know of a handful of wizards that are left. There's only one prophet we've heard of. There's no way we're getting thrown another prophet.
No, I feel like this is the rule of three. I think you should have picked up on the fact that she was told something about the future and that a mysterious person who we know because of Zed has to change his name all the fucking time told her some shit about the future that's our prophet. There's your number one. And then she mentions he one more time in the chapter, and that's your second clue. Oh, this guy is letting me know what's going to happen when I didn't believe it, but then it happened. And then this is your calling him the prophet. This is your three.
Yeah. And
by now you should have put together. We're talking about Nathan.
He's the missing prophet from the last chapter. Sorry. I don't mean to get excited.
You're okay. That's okay.
And we do actually, now that I think about it, know of one other baby prophet, but
baby prophet?
He's a baby prophet, but we know of his location. He is with Verna.
That's a t-shirt right there.
Heading back to Aendril. So it couldn't be Warren. Has to be Nathan.
Ah, right. Right. Okay, baby prophet. And I was like, wait, what?
He's a little baby prophet.
Aw. Yeah. Well, Clarissa is terrified. Obviously. She doesn't know what's going to happen to her. She obviously doesn't want to be given a ring and made a slave, but she knows she doesn't have the courage to fight and be killed. She fears death more than life, and she wants to live.
I was going to take a shot almost and say one could say she values life more than dignity, but then I was like, that seems like a low blow.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just... The people who don't want to be forced to do things they don't want to do and be, you know, their pride is so much, they will die rather than be put through that.
Right.
So I don't mean it as like a...
No, I...
You know,
I, yeah.
As I... Yeah. Mm. Anyways, we can continue on.
I think it's just that she knows she doesn't want to become a slave. She knows she may not have it in her to, you know, fight and die for her freedom. You know, anything could go wrong. She could fight, get knocked in the head, and then she's a slave anyway. And now she's fucking fought him, so life is going to be even worse. You know, it's just, I think what this comes down to is she froze.
And I suppose also the fact that...
Which is a valid response.
Yes. The fact that life holds possibility, whereas death does not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. If you die, then there is nothing at all. At least if you're alive, it may not be good for a while, but it could get better.
Yeah, there's a possibility.
There's a possibility of it. Well, the door bursts open. It's the abbot. He's old and out of shape and breath. He starts telling her that they've got to take the books and get away. She knows that would take days. It's just not possible. This dude is losing his mind with fear.
It's not funny, but this whole interaction between the two of them did make me chuckle a little bit because he was just so out of his goddamn mind.
So up, yeah. It's like he got sprayed with fucking Scarecrow's fear toxin.
Yeah.
He's just like, whoa!
Okay, take the books. Okay. Yeah, okay, no, never mind.
That's what we'll do. We'll just pick up the fucking palace, and we'll move it over there across the river, and they won't notice, and we can do this with one person easy in like 10 minutes. 10 minutes, guys, let's go.
It'll be fine. Just keep doing what we're doing. You want to go lunch? It'll be fine.
He's got a better idea. He has a second idea, and this one might actually work better. His plan is just to pretend that everything is normal and cool, and maybe they'll just be left alone.
Just act like we are supposed to be here.
Yeah.
And they'll assume we're supposed to be here. So it'll be fine.
So we'll just be calm. You'll be like, what's your name and what's your skill? Yeah, nope. Totally cool with everything you guys are doing. Just, you know, door's a little further down the hallway. Yeah. So we think everything is great and cool. And,
I'm just
see you at dinner.
Reading my daily devotion.
Okay. New boss. Okay.
So that's all we're doing in here. You don't need to worry about us. We're just devoting.
Well, three big bloody soldiers step through the door after the abbot. They are huge, and each of them have a ring through their left nostril. They demand to know the abbot's trade. He's like, I'm the fucking abbot. I'm a man of prayer and books. And the guard's like, so no trade then? Nothing? Nope. He's like, well, I take care of the shit. You know, I do stuff around here. It's not good enough. They cut his fucking throat.
It was stupidly humorous to me because he literally was like, hey, that chick over there, she knows everything that you would need to know about this place.
Yeah.
So you don't need me. But I can pray for you.
Yeah, I can pray for you. I can pray for your endeavor to make sure that it works.
I can pray. We can pray together. It could be a prayer circle. It'll be great.
let's make a circle right now on the floor.
You can't do anything else? Because, like, she could also pray for us, I think. Like, he's like, no. She could do the book thing and pray. I'm just going to pray for you, though.
But I can still do the prayer. You want double prayer, for sure, if you can. For sure, too.
That's not good enough? Oh, shit.
Jade's losing it.
Okay, sorry.
Well, Clarissa had known the abbot her whole life. He gave her a job there at the abbey and made sure she was fed. We find out, then, that the abbot was sexually abusing her.
So not exactly for her benefit, then, was it?
No. No, not at all. Mm. But he doesn't beat her, and she feels like it's just something she has to endure, to keep her job there.
Now.
Which is awful.
It is awful, but I will say, I don't know if she realizes that most of the other women in this village are not very happy with their men either, and probably view what's going on in their lives very similarly, because there was probably not a very large choice. So when they had somebody give them, be like, hey, I'm gonna marry you, bitch, they'd be like, okay. And so their lives are probably very much the same, and she doesn't even realize it.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Holy shit.
She just doesn't have kids screaming at her all the time for food.
Well, yeah. No, she's on her own there. Very quiet evenings, I'm assuming.
Yeah. But, so it is terrible. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
But she probably has more of what the other ladies have than she realizes.
Well, she did tell him to stop once. But he told her that she would be banished for even accusing him of that. So she put up with it. But even for that, she never wished this on him. She only ever wished to be left alone.
She should have wished this for him, though.
She should. I mean, yeah, obviously she should.
The man of the church being like, you can't accuse me of shit.
Yeah, he's using his position. This is much like kind of what we were talking about with Dreffin. He's in a position of power. You just assume they know what they're talking about. You're just supposed to do what those people tell you to do because they're the ones telling you to do it. And that's your lot in life.
I've read this book quite a few times, and I've never realized that there's a subtle line of, like, men in power sexually abusing the ones underneath. Like, 100%. I knew that there was other themes in here that we're going to get into later, but I guess I didn't realize, like, this early in the book, we have a couple different vantage points on the same type of situation.
Stances. Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. I think that's definitely a theme. I think it's been more in this book than maybe some of the others. Mm. I think maybe some of the earlier books were, not that it's not shocking, but they were bigger.
Yeah.
And this is something that does fucking happen in everyday life.
Yeah.
So I think that's the difference. This is more real.
Yeah. I have nothing else to say about that, but yeah.
I think that's what it boils down to. This is a situation that happens all the fucking time. And so it's put in here on purpose to get your attention. You know what I mean? This is a guy with power, somebody, a trusted voice in the community. We're like, oh, well, he wouldn't do that. He's like that guy. He fucking might. You don't know.
But it also makes Richard look a bazillion times better in like comparison. Because even in the last book, when he was like, show me your tits to all of his people.
Right.
He wasn't doing it sexually. He didn't touch him. He was just like, this is business.
This is for business. I don't want to do this. Trust me. I'm wearing gloves.
I have a badge.
Well, the man with the knife slid it behind his belt and approached her. He grabs her by the chin and looks her over, then tosses her to the other two and says, "Ringer." She's still in shock when she realizes what he means. She doesn't want to be brutalized, and she for sure doesn't want to die. They decide to give her a silver ring, and it almost seems like Clarissa is relieved. She thinks, silver. Silver, not copper. And she feels like they value her higher than her own people did, even if she is a slave. She's got this weird sense of pride at being given a silver ring.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing that most of the other people who were in the copper ring department were probably right along the same lines as she was. You know, older, you know, hags.
She's as old as dirt. She's early 30s.
Yeah,
she's ugly, practically dead.
And she gets a silver. So she's special. She's better. Yeah. You know, she's a step above. She's not gold. Obviously, she's not gold.
Right. I mean, I fucking hate how she argues that to herself. She's like, okay, yeah, obviously we weren't getting gold, but silver, right?
Silver will be fine.
Well, she holds back a scream as the pick twists into her lip. She thinks to herself, why don't they just sharpen the ring and use that instead of a separate pick? Mm. I'm sorry, no. She thinks that. She goes, of course I'm not gold, but silver is better than copper. And what else is there now? It's all done. There's just you and the fucking pain.
Yeah, there's going to be pain for sure.
Well, the man presses the ring through her lip and says, you are now the property of the Imperial Order.
Which we could have guessed because we knew that's the imposing army. And we already know Jigane likes the lip ring thing. He's real into face jewelry.
He's got the cool chain that hangs from. Man, I think those things definitely look cool. I would never have the balls to do it myself. I thought about it for a minute. But then I was like, this is the old person in me. If it got caught on something.
Yeah.
Meow.
No, man.
No, that's thanks.
I like piercings a whole lot. I think they look
great. I'm not going to do it myself.
I am way far too clumsy. I
I'm the same way. I was like, no, something would happen, obviously.
I had a belly button ring. I wore a crochet crop top. The belly button ring got caught in the crochet crop top. It pissed it off. It got infected. I took it out. And now I don't have a belly button ring.
Nope.
That's what happens. No more. That's what would happen to every one of mine, because I am just not good at that kind of stuff.
Who you can only imagine that something worse is going to happen than the, you know, like they got to run them through a magic line where they're just like, okay, we're going to uninfect your nasty lip from that pike we've
that
used.
That is true. They do have one of the sisters on board.
Maybe
so.
They treat it with something, man. They have to, because.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, they do have a lot of numbers, so I guess they don't care that much if they die.
Yeah, that's true. They are kind of all disposable, as far as we know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before we head out, I want to talk about somebody who is not disposable, one of our listeners.
Aww.
Who sent us in a listener email. Fuck yeah.
Ba-da-da.
So this email, and it's a short one, it's good. It says, just wanted to say thanks for making this podcast of Sword of Truth. First podcast I've really gotten into, and it helped me drive 2,700 miles across the country with staying awake. I love that detail. Yeah. We're like, fuck yeah, we didn't put him to sleep. Got 9.5 hours left of my road trip, so about 9 more episodes of Wizard's First Rule and Beer Breaks.
You gotta have the beer
Johnny.
Breaks. Johnny. So he must have gotten through all of our episodes. So there'll be a new one tomorrow for him to listen to, but I'm assuming he's probably done with his road trip as of now.
I did send him a message. I was like, hey man, that is fucking awesome. I'm super happy we didn't put you to sleep. So I said, we're going to put this email in the show, but it's going to show up like in the feed way down the line. So I just wanted him to know we did that, but like, it's going to be a minute till you get there.
You'll get there.
Unless you listen to podcasts like I do, then it'll be a couple weeks tops.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that does it for us for today.
Yeah, I got to rest.
Yeah, gotta go take a sleep. If you guys wanted to let us know what you thought about this episode, you totally can by writing an email to podcastatt@gmail.com. If that's not your thing, you just want to follow us on all the social medias, you can do that at podcastatt. If you really liked what you heard here today and you think that it brought some value to your life, you can go to patreon.com/podcastatt. I know I made it weird.
Yeah.
And make a pledge. But if that's not your thing, you can just go ahead and like, rate, subscribe, do all that stuff that people who know about those things tell people to do at the end of podcasts. Mm. It would actually help us out, and I appreciate it a lot. But yeah, you could do that as well. But honestly, we just thank you guys so much for hanging out with us today and listening to our sick asses make our way through this chapter. We love you all, and we will see you real soon.
Bye!
Beautiful.
800 hours station time. The Romulan Empire formally declared war against the Dominion. They've already struck 15 bases along the Cardassian border. So this is a huge victory for the good guys. This may even be the turning point of the entire war. There's even a welcome to the fight party tonight in the boardroom. So I lied. I cheated. I bribed men to cover the crimes of other men. I'm an accessory to murder. The most damning thing of all. I think I can live with it. And if I had to do it all over again, I would. Garrick was right about one thing. A guilty conscience is a small price to pay for the safety of the Alpha Quadrant. So I will learn to live with it. Because I can live with it. I can live with it. Computer, erase that entire personal log.